Hey, welcome back to Return of the Disc. This episode is definitely different. It'll be a sit-down interview with one of my good friends named Tim Baca. Talk about fishing, bowling, physical media, movies, and what he's been up to on the gridiron, helping out a local community. So without further ado, here's my interview with Tim Baca. What is up, dude? I'm glad that you're here and known you for a while. You're a guy of all traits. Many occupations over the years, but we met at the bowling alley in Derby. I don't know. I'm going to say it was, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to say it was like summer of 2005 or something like that.
I bet it was 2004.
Okay. Well,
it was somewhere in there.
I got a memory of meeting you in league, not really know much about you, but then I took some classes at Butler Community College, ran into you there in the lobby. You were on the like those community computers, checking your computer, and you're like, I was just trying to leave, and you're like, hey, come here, look at this. And it's like your MySpace page, and it's like all these highlights of Darren McFadden, which I had no idea. And obviously, your background behind you, you're a huge Arkansas fan. Little did I know, through our friendship, I would get an Arkansas football education because we hung out from there. And basically, I think you were like, hey, you're a Michigan fan. Check out this guy. And it was McFadden. And then like the clip would end and you'd be like, what do you think? And I'm like, it was cool, man. You know, what? I downplayed it. But anyways, we ended up being friends and having some battles over the years in the video game, NCAA football. But yeah, that's kind of how I remember us, progressing as friends.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing too on that. Like, I knew you were a Michigan fan and I knew the history of Michigan football. They've had a bunch of greats and I'm like, hey, you know, Arkansas has got a couple guys now that can compare with them. What do you think of this?
And Arkansas wasn't even my radar, man. I was just like, you know, I never watched SEC. It's always like Big 10 or Big 12.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for the education and the many battles on the video game.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've kept in touch over the years. I mean, I've moved from Kansas, you know, I moved from Kansas, moved back to Kansas, moved from Kansas. You know, I've had like a certain journey.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been social distancing before COVID, before it was cool to do that. We kept in touch over the internet, playing online dynasties, and or just having like long phone conversations. And that's kind of what I wanted to bring today and show people out there, like our friendship, our unique bond, and kind of how we've dealt with things over the years and kind of kept in touch.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I want to start with like, You're a bowler, you're a sports guy. I mean, your name is Tim the Catfish Hunter.
Yeah.
What was the first thing? Was it fishing? Was it bowling? What was the first thing you got into?
Definitely fishing. My dad took me when I was a little kid, and my family has some private ponds and stuff like that I go to sometimes. But you know, my dad took me fishing when I was a kid, but I kind of took it to the next level with some of the stuff that I've gone after.
That's going to be a recurring theme. Tim takes everything to the next level. Once he gets a little taste of something, it's like sort of like this addiction in a good way. He goes all in. And I mean, I'm going to jump ahead to like the Blu-ray thing, because this is Return the Disc. I'm a physical media channel.
Mm-hmm.
We went out. I wanted to go out shopping. I'm not sure how it came about. Maybe we were just going to try to go mess around, go to the mall and check out the sports store or something. And then I was like, hey, stop at this place called like CD Trade Post. And they had a bunch of used movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at them and you're like, bro, I've never heard of that. Like, I didn't know this place existed. I thought this stuff was like retired with Blockbuster. You said something like that. It was just,
dude, I got so excited. I remember that like it was yesterday.
You were amazed. I was like, yeah. And then I went to your house, showed you some Blu-rays, I think, or you bought some. I'm not sure, but we were watching on your 24-inch. It was like a really small TV. at your place. And I
Yeah.
remember I brought you, like, because you didn't have the movie, I don't think. You didn't have Good Will Hunting. And I brought the DVD over.
Yeah.
And I was like, here you go, here's a gift. And it was like freaking letterbox. So it was really like we were watching like an 18-inch screen.
Yeah.
And I got pissed because I was like, they didn't have the Blu-ray at Target and stuff. So, anyways, you ended up going back to Trade Post, signing up and doing their buy more, get more stuff. And next thing I know, within like a month, you've got how many movies?
It wasn't a month. It was, don't let him lie to you. It wasn't a month. It was a couple. I got quite a few.
How many did you have before, though, before you discovered like Trade Post?
Well, I had a bunch of DVDs, but I didn't have many Blu-rays. And then I noticed the difference that you were talking about in the picture quality.
Yeah.
So I maybe had three Blu-rays or something like that. But then I took advantage of that before they went basically out of business. And I probably got close to, I don't know, probably 800.
I mean, I would go in there with you after that, and they like knew your name. They were so excited to see you, and it felt like you were keeping the lights on for them. It was amazing.
Well, whenever I stopped going, you saw what happened.
I mean, and since then you upgraded your TV twice. I mean, I don't want to go into details. I know I don't want to get robbed or anything, but you had. Went from a small TV. You went big or go home. That's kind of the theme with you, is you always go in, go all in. I mean, at one point I feel like you had a bait shop.
Yeah, I kind of did.
You
See, and
had like a whole.
that's where the whole thing, Tim the Catfish Hunter came from, was because I mean you knew me when this stuff was going on. I before I started bowling everywhere, and bowling tournaments all over, I was fishing all over the place. I was making weights. I was getting a lot of rods, and I was getting rid of some, getting some. I was fixing reels all the time, and I was literally traveling all over the place fishing.
Yeah, you definitely know the spots in Kansas, especially southern Kansas, Oklahoma maybe. I mean, where all have you fished?
Basically, Kansas and Oklahoma, and a little bit in Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah, you've caught some big fish over the years, mostly catfish, right?
Yeah, I like going after catfish.
Yeah. Well, you earned that name, bro. You earned that
That's
name.
hilarious. You're not the only person that has said that to me. And I start laughing. I'm like, well, and where Catfish Hunter comes from, right?
Yeah, grumpier old men.
Yeah. So I was like, oh man, that's a great name. So I was like, just put Tim the Catfish Hunter on everything. I mean,
That's the
he.
other thing, dude. It's like there's so many deep cuts with you, man, that I don't even expect. Like when you came and looked at my collection, and I had like grumpy old men, and like nobody our age really knows about those movies. And we were like quoting lines to each other, and we barely know each other. It was great. It was like, wow, we know about this movie, that movie. And I want to talk about another deep cut, and this is kind of jumping ahead to this past summer. You came up to visit me in Ohio, and we planned this like amazing trip. But one of the first things when you got here, I played a song, Bruce Hornsby, Show Goes On. And which I had just discovered from the show The Bear on Hulu, and the first couple notes played, and you're like, oh yeah. And I'm like, you know this song? Like, how do you know Bruce Hornsby, The Show Goes On? And you're like, dude, it's Backdraft. I was like, God, man, of course it is Backdraft.
I was like, I've known this song since the early 90s, man. You're like, what? I thought I was the only one. I love this song. I was like,
I
yeah, that's cool.
really, I mean, it's such a random song to play every morning, but I was playing it like every morning for like the whole summer.
Oh, it's epic, man.
It
But like,
is.
that's what's weird. That's what's really weird is like, I'm able to remember a lot of things, and like, especially like football, I'm able to remember a lot of things, whether it's like, stats or players, whether it's local, college, NFL, and I'm pretty thankful for that, because it's gotten me into a lot of hilarious conversations over the years with people from different states and different towns.
Well, even movie quotes. I
Yeah.
mean, quotes from Backdraft, even Braveheart,
Oh
Saving
yeah.
Private Ryan,
Oh
Forrest
yeah.
Gump, Rudy,
Definitely.
Good Will Hunting. I gotta say, it's probably one of the ones that we've watched together a lot. Scarface is another one that's like therapeutic for us.
That makes it sound bad.
Am I missing any other? I mean, Scarface is great
No,
because it's like it's
it's
got it
great
all. It's comedy, action,
to say watching a
crime. It's Grand
therapeutic.
Theft Auto.
That might sound like bad.
It's a great movie.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's hilarious.
Have you ever like done any like fishing tournaments or any been competitive fishing? Is that kind of ever been an ambition for you?
What's funny, a lot of people tell me that I should really do that, and I have never once fished in a tournament.
That's surprising to me.
I have never once in my life fished in a tournament anywhere, and the hilarious thing about that, I have a lot of friends that have fished in tournaments, and they would be posting that they haven't caught anything. But I would happen to be either like, say, downriver or in another spot nearby, and I'm not in the tournament, and I'm catching stuff, but they're not catching stuff, and I'm not only catching stuff, I'm catching big stuff.
Oh yeah.
And it's hilarious because like, one time a friend of mine, we were all at this lake, and I told him that this spot was really good, and he's like, "All right, well, I'll try here, and you can go fish over there." I was like, "Okay, that works for me." Well, he literally fished there for 3 hours. He got mad and left. Then I went over to the spot there he was at, and I caught three fish over 20 pounds in like 20 minutes after being there. And then I sent him a picture of me holding the fish. I was like, "I told you it was a good spot."
Do you think he just missed out with not being patient or just,
I think some of it,
yeah.
or who knows, he could have been getting bites but not knowing what to do.
So there's a different kind of when you're reeling in a catfish, it's different than your traditional trouts or whatever. It's just different, depends on the fish.
Yeah, you got to let it tire itself out. That's what I see. A lot of people try to muscle it in, then their line breaks, and
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
they understand why. Like I've had, oh, it was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we had all that flooding down here in Kansas, and
Yeah.
it was on the 4th of July. I got into a flathead that was, my friend said he thought it was over 70 pounds easily. But it took me 45 minutes to get it in, and literally it was just a simple back and forth thing. I'd reel him in, and he would turn and try to go back out, and I would just loosen the drag, then tighten the drag. It's back and forth, but it took a long time to get him in, but I did.
That's awesome. Are you hearing the dogs barking?
Oh yeah.
Damn it. Okay. But then, while you've been fishing, it seems like you kept up with bowling through the years.
Yeah.
Was there a bowling league in high school for you at all? Or what was your start, when you're before I met you, you seemed like you had been bowling for years.
Well, I had been bowling for a few years before we met. I started when I was, I believe 12,
Yeah.
and I think I was probably 15 when I met you or something like that, or 16 maybe. I might have been 16 when we met. I would go to the town just north of where I lived. I'd go to Derby from Mulvane, and that's where I'd go. That's where I'd go to bowl, and that's where I'd go to practice. But I didn't think I was that good back then.
Was it the same thing though, where you would acquire gear in a fast? Did you have your own like different balls all the time? It seemed like you had like carry-on luggage at times, and you could go to the lanes.
I had a little bit of equipment, but not like what I do now.
Yeah.
That was
And
later on that I
one thing I
started.
noticed about, bowling against you those few years, you're just so consistent. Your scores are, once you're hitting in the groove, you stay in the groove. Whether it be on NCAA football with your offense, with the Blu-ray collection and the bowling and the fishing, I don't know if it's like you're focused or you're just naturally consistent. I mean, what do you think it is? Are you that focused?
Well, now I am. I got later on in my career, which you've been basically watching it the whole time since we've been friends for so long. But basically, I have a bowling coach, and he's taught me a lot about focusing, a lot about mindset, and a lot about a lot of different things. But it's hilarious because I'll do things, and I can't tell you how many times I've gone to tournaments, and people will just they'll look at me and they won't think anything. They'll think like this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, or like this guy
Right.
doesn't have a chance, or anything like that. And I'll hold my own against them. But it's all mindset. It's not because I can do more with the ball than they can. It's just mindset. It's literally like in my mind, I believe in myself, and it helps me perform better, as opposed to if I did not.
Yeah. With the success that you've had, I mean, you've had many 300 games or great series over the years,
Yeah.
and with the fishing too and everything, it's just, do you get a lot of people that are like sort of bandwagoners where they're like, hey, I want to know how to bowl like that. I want to know how to catch that. Where did you catch that at? Are they a lot of people come out of woodwork, not
Oh man.
necessarily they're like the greatest of friends, but they come out of the woodwork and they want that instant success. Whereas you've spent the time to get to this point, do you have a lot of that happening?
Oh, especially with the fishing. They want to know when I caught it, where, how. I mean, they want, and all these people, they want to go fishing with me. And it's so funny to me because like, I know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
They want me to take them to where I'm going, and then they want to go without me.
See, for me on the outside, it seems like the conditions would have already changed on the lake, or the weather has changed and the fish move probably, right? Or just to,
Yeah.
you kind of have to play the weather.
Well,
That's what it seems like. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's like no exact science to like a guarantee of a catch, right?
I don't care what anybody says, like you can never guarantee it.
Yeah.
But your odds are better if you do this or this sometimes. And sometimes I'll look at the with the fishing, I'll look at the wind, I'll look at if there's a front coming in, if there's a storm, wherever there's a storm at, I'll factor in all these different things, and then I'll go to a spot kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, and I literally have so many people too have talked to me about How do you do this? And don't get me wrong, I'm willing to help
Yeah.
anyone. I've actually, got a funny story for you about that.
All right, cool.
Somebody, we'll just tell, we'll just, we'll call him, Johnny.
Johnny.
Like on Cobra Kai, we'll call him
Cobra
Johnny.
Kai, okay.
So,
Johnny Lawrence.
yeah, there was a league that I was in. It was very high,
This is
very,
bowling, right?
yeah.
Okay.
It was a very prestigious league. The best of the best in the area were in it. So there were some pros in it. There were some All-Americans in it, national champions.
This is like the All Valley tournament then, or a Cobra Kai type thing.
It kind of is, but when I met a lot of them, when I met a lot of them, none of them. It was so funny because none of them gave me. They looked at me and they didn't think that I was going to be that decent or that good. And I literally I held my own against them, a lot of them, and I passed a lot of them. Like it was kind of a thing where it was like two games, you bowl two games on a pair, and then you move pairs to
Yeah.
some other part of the house. And literally, like I'm bowling against these guys, and these guys are great bowlers. Johnny and Daniel's son are great bowlers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in my mind, I believe I'm great too. But at the same time, I'm not selling it that I believe that, if that makes sense. Like I'm not caring. Oh, I'm not letting it be known that I believe I'm great, if that makes sense. Well, I end up literally game one, these guys end up I mean they end up beating me by like 40 sticks or something like that. And then the next game I ended up passing them. So
Yeah.
beating them by more than 40 to end up passing them in the series to get the most points on that pair. And then they laughed, because one of them asked me, like how many points did you win? And I had just got done venting about how I hardly won any. And then he laughed and he was like, yeah, I didn't mean to put it that way. And then like
No
literally,
mercy.
huh?
Then no
Literally,
mercy.
yeah. Literally the next round I passed him. I bowled better and I passed him. And I earned a nickname of Sneaky Bastard that night. And it was pretty funny because literally I did it and they didn't, see it coming. And like a lot of people that have bowled against me, they say I'm quiet about it. I'm not in your face about it. I'm more or less if I end up winning the match, a lot of times I don't say much about it. I just leave the building.
Yeah, I think that's sounds like humbleness.
Now, there's been plenty of times where I've had to speak up and stick up for myself.
Yeah.
But I had to learn the difference of speaking up to stick up for yourself and speaking up just to be an ass.
When you're facing that kind of like adversity where you have that. Those people that are kind of, I guess, are trying to get in your head a little bit and have like that natural doubt. How do you handle that?
Well,
In anything?
those guys, for example, those guys are not, Johnny and Daniel's son that we're referring to. Those two guys, I'm pretty good friends with them,
Okay.
today. I don't think that they were trying to get in my head, But the ones that do try and get in my head, I kind of like, I still have my moments where I fail at it, but I kind of just laugh at them because I know what they're doing and I know why they're doing it. So basically, and this goes for basketball, this goes for football, baseball, whatever. If I have to talk crap to you, then literally I do not believe in myself enough that I can beat you straight up. So really, if you're talking crap to me and trying to get into my head, I laugh and I think of it as a compliment. You know, and
You
then
do
like,
like the Michael Jordan thing, where you make it fuel.
yeah. That's the only way to be, man. That's the only way to be. Because literally, and I see it so many times too. I'll see, you know, say kids on the football field or something, and I'll see them, you know, somebody running their mouths. Then the other one that retaliates is the one that gets in trouble. And that's the one that gets seen. And then literally that kid that got in trouble, he's literally off the next four or five plays because he's still thinking about what happened 5 plays ago, if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
the mental
Yeah.
game.
Yeah. And you know, my coach and I, we were literally one summer I sat down and I said to myself, you know, fishing and bowling, I love them both. I love competing and stuff, but if I and I had a serious talk with my coach, I said, the time is now. If I don't start taking this seriously and I don't actually invest, then there's going to be a day one day where I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, what if? And that's the worst feeling ever.
Oh, yeah.
And I literally, man, that's when I started all the training that we did. And literally, he told me I learned 15 years of information in 3 months. And
Wow.
it was like a light switch. It was crazy. That was before going up into that league that I was talking about. And
You went all in on the bowling.
I went all in. Because you know, I looked at myself, I said, you know, the fish are gonna be out there. I'll be able to fish later on. You're not gonna always be able to compete, you know, at a high level. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, you can
Yeah.
bowl, but you can't bowl at a high level forever.
And you know, I think it goes back to you can't just buy your way to being a good
No.
bowler. You can't just buy equipment and expect to bowl a 300.
And I'll tell you what too, I put in so much work that people don't even realize. And that's the thing, you know, like you can't buy your way into being great at something. You have to work. And it's not just working like when you're at practice on the practice field, you know, it's working every day, you know, it's working when nobody's watching. You know, literally, I can't tell you how many times I've been studying things at home. Whenever, like, say I was out with an injury or it's off season, whatever, you know, like so many times and for so long, all I was doing, I was working on it every day. And it was so funny because it was go to work and then it was work on that, go to
Yeah.
work. And it was for years I did that. But
I can relate to that. I mean, people ask me, I put a movie on Amazon Prime and they're like, "Oh, your life is set, right?" I'm like, "No, I'm just beginning." And they're like, "Well, how do you make a movie?" I'm like, you do it. Like I wrote, directed, edited a film, feature length, got on Amazon Prime, but it took a couple years. Like, it takes time to get this stuff done. And you can't just, so what, you buy like the greatest 4K camera, 10K camera, or whatever. That's not going to make it a great movie. You use the resources you have and you tell the best story you can, but it's the way that you frame the shots, it's the way that you get the actors to act out your script, and the way that you edit it all together in post. That's really what makes it all come together into this recipe of success. And so I kind of relate to that, what you're saying, as far as you're putting the work in when nobody's watching. I'll watch movies that are related to the ones I'm going to make, find inspiration that way. I listen to a lot of podcasts with filmmakers, and I'm always like, doing this, something like this, and putting this together is also practice in some way of, creating and making the art. So I definitely relate to that.
For sure. Well, and it's funny too, 'cause I brag about my friends all the time. Like you, and you've known me for a long time. You've heard me bragging about, my friend's success, and I'm not really one to brag about my own success, if that makes sense.
I'm not either. I probably should do it more, promote things more, but I don't.
Well, I just, that's always the way I've been. I've always not really been kind of one to throw my accomplishments out there like that, or
I think the most like trash talk you've done with me is like through memes, or gifts, it's, but that's just years of friendship and this sort of shorthand that we have, that it'll bother me, but I won't be too mad, kind of thing. It's just, yeah, it's
Well, hey,
like I can say F you and you'd be like, laugh it off, like whatever,
I can't tell you how many times you've said that to me, and I just started laughing.
What are you doing now, and what are you looking forward to in 2024?
So, well, it's funny. I kind of took a shift. I did some crazy training from May to August. I hiked like 400 and something miles, like in some.
And you shot like a nature documentary. If you go to his Instagram, Tim the Catfish Hunter, and scroll back to last summer, there's so many shots of deer and nature and these interesting parks that you went to, like in Oklahoma and.
Yeah, Oklahoma and Kansas. I went all over the place, and I was telling my, something happened to me. I won't go into details, but it had the verge of breaking the mindset and all the training that I've had, and everything, and basically the hiking and the working out was a way for me to push through it. And bowling season started back up, and I started bowling again, and it was a lot different. I had a lot of work to do, but I started filming one night at a football game, and this
Just in
town.
the stands, right? You're just as a casual fan.
Yeah, I'm just up in the stands, or around the fence, whatever, and I get a couple good shots of the game. Well, then I ended up tagging a couple of players, I believe, and because I knew them, and I was like, well, I knew that a couple of these players wanted to go to college and play football, so I was like, maybe if I catch some good plays, that'll help them with recruiting. So anyway, I'm not thinking anything of it or anything. Well, then the next game I do it, and catch a couple decent, more decent plays. Well, then, people started following me on Instagram, you know, local people. I didn't know who all of them were and everything. Well, then the hilarious thing is the next game, it literally, like, week by week, it just started blowing up. And I mean blowing up, like, so much to the fact that, like, people are starting, they start to call me by my Instagram name, like, around town when they see me, they're like, you know, they're like, "Hey, Tim the Catfish Hunter." And I just start laughing. Even some people that are hired in the school, they're like, "Who is this Tim the Catfish Hunter?" And then, like, meet me, they're like, they get excited and they're like, "Oh, you're Tim the Catfish Hunter." And I just started.
You went viral, bro.
Huh?
You went viral in your small town. Like, you went viral in the community.
But the funniest thing is, like, I kept doing it. I kept doing it. And as football season went on, you know, I started getting requests. I was like, you know, are you going to film basketball? Are you going to be around for basketball? I was like, well, I mean, I could see what I could do. And then I get asked, you know, can you film wrestling? You know, and these are kids that asked me to do it. And it's really cool. Cause like, it's kind of blown up, you know. Who would ever thought that I would be filming.
Think about this too. I mean, you were equipment guy in Mulvane and an equipment guy in college.
Yeah.
And so you have that background too in football, and you've always a lot about Kansas high school football in general.
Yeah.
Just from being a fan and going to the games.
Yeah.
And you know a lot about the history and all that. So you're using those connections too.
Oh yeah.
To help. And now you're just, you happen to like fall into this sort of media guy for and mentor role.
I wouldn't call myself the media guy, because like they have a couple students at the high school that do a fascinating job. They make some insane videos, and I do not know how to do all that stuff yet. And I'm literally just shooting raw footage and putting it together. But they're doing stuff like on your level, and it's impressive to watch.
Have they asked you for your footage at all?
I don't think that they have.
Yeah.
But
well, guys, ask him for his footage, you know, give him a little piece of the pie, you know? But I think that's great. I mean, you've always had some like amazing videos. Like there was times where I questioned, was like, is that a real deer? You're like, yeah, bro, it's real.
Yeah, I remember that. You're like, is that actually a real deer? I'm like, yeah, he's right here.
He's
like,
right in front of me.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
So I think you have like a natural eye of what, you know, how to compose a shot and stuff. So that's something that you can't teach.
It's funny too, because my family's always told me that I take some really good pictures, like when I'm out fishing and stuff like that. And it's kind of funny, because whenever I started doing this, I never expected it to blow up. You know,
where do you see it going this year? Do you think it's going to become even a bigger thing? What are your, do you have a goal for in mind for this year, as far as what do you want to do for these kids?
You know, I'm going to keep doing basketball, and I'm going to keep, if I'm able to catch, as wrestling winds down, if I'm able to catch some more of that, I will. And I'm going to do track, again, and I'm going to do baseball and softball. And, as it's going on, I've kind of thought of ideas of different things I could do. Like, I actually ended up making a kind of little recruitment video post for a kid from another school. And it actually ended up helping him get some football offers for college.
That's awesome.
And which I had a feeling it would, you know, they want to see video, you know, they want to see.
Do you think a lot of these smaller schools don't have those kind of like departments dedicated to a certain athletes? I don't know what they call it, like athlete promotion or certain. Are there other people, like, I know those, the bigger schools, the bigger high schools probably do, but it seems like these smaller schools maybe don't get quite as much coverage.
They get a lot of coverage. They get coverage, but there's some schools that get hardly no coverage, but
yeah.
But I don't think there's a lot of people that specifically try to promote.
Yeah.
The kids like that. A lot of it you have to do on your own, you know. You know, they'll have scouts that go places and stuff, but you won't, a lot of schools, the scouts will never even look at, but you know, if they have a video, they can send that video wherever.
Yeah. And then this is like the time to promote and social media. It's just one click of the button, sharing and all that.
Yeah.
You just never know.
I think that if I keep doing this, it could end up helping a lot of people, potentially.
I think that's great.
But the funny thing is, too, I've kind of, as it's gone on, I started off being like really kind of quiet, just doing it and stuff. But then I started kind of every once in a while talking to the players or this or that, you know. And then it came where players will message me, and now they'll tell me, hey, you know, it's game day, I'm pumped up. Or one of the players, one of the wrestlers, it was so cool because I was filming wrestling when they were wrestling, and he came up to talk to me, and he was frustrated. He had just lost the match. Yeah. And I told him, I said, that doesn't mean anything. I said, literally, you've still had a great day. You know, you've won this many out of this many. That's your only match that you've lost. And I said, focus on the positive. You know, if you keep your mind focused on the positive, then you're gonna perform better. And literally, the next day, that kid went to another tournament and won a gold medal.
Yeah, it goes back to what we talked about, the mindset.
And yeah.
You're kind of passing those tools on.
Well, and the funny thing is, and I've helped a couple people with mindset. I've even helped a bowler with the mindset. He literally was, you know, we were talking and stuff, and he wanted some help, and talked to him for about an hour, and then after I talked to him, he went out and had the best month of his career. Multiple threes, multiple eights, and I'm like, you're welcome.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So real quick, I wanted to get you some rapid fire questions. What are some movies that you could watch over and over?
Oh, gee. We would have to
We kind of talked about it a little bit, but
I was gonna say we would have to have a whole nother episode for that. Now, definitely Rudy is one of them. And you can maybe see that autographed Rudy jersey in the background.
Yeah, I see it.
That's a very highly motivational movie for me, because I feel like I can relate to that story, the underdog. But Remember the Titans is one. Miracle on Ice, I can watch that over and over again. If I'm going comedy, I can definitely watch True Lies.
True Lies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's so many movies I could list.
I feel like Joe Dirt's up there for you, too. Like,
I think the quote,
one that you quote a lot.
I do. That's a good movie.
Yeah. What about music? Any like music that really inspires you at all? Or
Oh, I love classic rock, but and I love some country music sometimes, but like basically it's classic rock, and a lot of people are gonna laugh at this, but certain like classical movie soundtracks really,
Oh, I'm right there with you.
really can do it for me.
Yeah.
That kind of music, like the Rudy soundtrack, for example. It can that kind of music can get inside your soul. It can dig deep, you know what I'm saying? So I love that stuff for sure.
I don't know, man. I think that might be all the rapid fire. I know that was kind of lame.
I will say that I will say this though. The filming, that's something I hope to find a way to continue doing because it seems like a lot of the kids really like it, and
Well,
a lot of,
let me ask you this. I mean,
yeah.
what do you get out of doing this, doing the sports promotion, the highlights and stuff? What do you get out of this for helping the kids out? What does that mean to you?
Well, it means a lot to me. You know, it's kind of giving back to the community that I live in, and it's hilarious because people have said like, where did you come from? I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, I've lived here for 13 years, 14 years. They're
Yeah.
like, well, we never used to see you. Like, we've never seen you do this before. And I was like, well, nobody does it. But plus, I've been literally, I was gone with bowling all the time. But I get, I've actually made a lot of friendships out of this, and I feel like a lot of these friendships are, you know, gonna last the rest of my life and stuff. But I've always my coach said this to me, you're the type that you enjoy sharing in people that you care about success just as much as you enjoy your own success. And that's really true.
I think that's true,
I really enjoy being there when the big moments happen with all of them. And you know, sharing, you know, say, you know, telling them how great they did or whatever. And also, when they've had a bad game or something, it's also it. I also enjoy reminding them, hey, it's just one game, you know, or focus on what positively happened, you know, because if they have a bad game or something. It can last a long time, but it's all about mindset. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what, every kid that I've caught a clip of, or that I will catch a clip of, all these kids, I believe that they can do what they want to do. I believe that they can all succeed, but they have to believe it too. And they have to be the ones to do the work because nobody's going to do the work for them. But
Right.
I'll tell you what, some of these kids work very hard. It's a lot of fun to watch, for sure.
Well, man, I'm glad that you're doing this. I'm glad that it's rewarding for you. And I just keep it up. And if you guys are out there watching, be sure to check out his Instagram at Tim the Catfish Hunter, all one word, right?
Yeah. Tim the
And you
Catfish.
got to start doing YouTube, man. I'm telling you, put a little bit of work into YouTube, maybe get some of the best of the season
Yeah,
or something, put it out there, and you never know.
my YouTube is Tim the Catfish Hunter 300.
Oh, 300. You added a 300. Nice.
I added the
Little
300.
bowling on there and fishing combination.
Yeah, you like that?
I
I know.
like it. I like it, man. Well, I want to thank you for coming on and talking about all this. It was a lot of
Yeah,
fun.
thanks for having me on, man.
And that'll do it for my interview with Tim Baca. Be sure to check him out on Instagram at Tim the Catfish Hunter. And as always, this has been Return of the Disc. I'm Dan.